spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations bring you The Eternal Light, a program produced in cooperation with the University of Judaism, the West Coast branch of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the second in a series of four programs broadcast from Hollywood. Our transcribed program today is entitled King Solomon and the Bee, a singing story by Morton Wishengrad, based upon Midrashic sources and the fables of Chaim Nachman Bialik.
There was a little honeybee went searching for a rose, but he got lost upon the way and found King Solomon's nose. He searched it hard for pollen, and harder still for plunder, and finding none got very mad and made a fearful blunder.
Ouch! Ouch! Oh, my nose! Oh,
King Solomon, what's the matter? What's wrong?
My nose! Oh, my nose! I've been stung!
Well, I didn't do it, Your Majesty.
You fool! No one said you did. Get that bee.
Men, get that bee!
I want him dead or alive.
Capture that bee! He stung the royal nose!
Oh, my nose! Oh, my nose! Oh, my nose! I've been stung, I've been stabbed, I've been ravaged, I've been murdered. Oh, my nose! Oh, my nose! Oh, my nose! Don't let that bee get away! We want him dead or alive! Shut every window! Slam every door. Don't let that bee get away. Find that bee. Surround that bee. We want him dead or alive. We want him dead or alive. We want him dead. Oh, you fools, you clumsy fools, you let him get away. Oh, my poor wounded nose.
What's that for?
I thought Your Majesty might like another cold application.
I do not want another cold application. It's gotten so a king can't lie down and take a nap for 10 minutes without being stabbed in the back.
Hardly in the back, Your Majesty.
Oh, be still. Chamberlain, how does it look?
You really want to know?
How does it look, Chamberlain?
Prominent. How does it feel?
Like the burning pyramids of the pharaohs. Bring me a mirror.
I wouldn't advise you to look at it.
Is it that bad?
Has Your Majesty ever seen a cucumber?
I have.
A rather large cucumber?
I have.
An enormous cucumber?
I have.
An enormous swollen red cucumber?
Impossible.
Bring King Solomon the royal mirror.
Never mind, never mind. Never fails. It simply never fails.
What never fails?
Every time I invite the Queen of Sheba to spend a few days, something like this always happens. Chamberlain?
Yes?
Do you realize that the Queen will be here tomorrow?
It crossed my mind, Your Majesty.
How will I look to her?
Like a royal vegetable.
That settles it. I want that bee.
But I don't think we can.
I want him, dead or alive.
But Your Majesty was asleep. How can anyone be sure he was eating a bee?
No explanations, no excuses. I want that bee. Brought to me, here, now.
That's out of my power, King Solomon. If you want the bee, you'll have to make your own arrangements.
Sound the great gong. Sound it again.
All creatures hearken to me. I have been stung by a bee. A wrong has been done, and wrong must be punished. Let him come forward to me. All creatures, where is he? This criminal, infamous bee. A wrong has been done, and wrong must be punished. So bring him forward to me.
Well, I am waiting. I, Solomon the King, I am waiting.
It makes him rather angry to be kept waiting.
Let the criminal make himself known.
Your Majesty, this is a most reluctant, unrepentant criminal.
Enough. I order every insect in the royal gardens to appear before me at once. Every bee, mosquito, wasp, gnat, hornet, and horsefly, come before me immediately. I command silence.
Not a wing stirred, not a buzz was heard.
Insects, tell me this. In all the seconds of your life, have I ever harmed you? Have I ever permitted anyone in my court to molest you? I, Solomon the King, have been your protector, your guardian. And how have you repaid me? How?
He means, look at his nose.
Who is the culprit?
He means, who did it?
Who dared to inflict this grievous injury upon the king?
A red cucumber.
Who? Who is the criminal? Let him come forward. If you know who did it, come forward. Well?
Good morning. I mean, good afternoon.
Little bee, do you know who I am?
Oh, everybody knows who you are. You're King Solomon, the wisest man in all the world. The
boss.
Quite
so. Quite so. Now, do you know who stung me?
I'm afraid I do.
Don't be afraid. Tell me the name of the culprit, and you will be rewarded, and the guilty one will be punished. Tell me.
Alas, Your Majesty, I am the guilty one.
Aha! You admit it.
Aha! I do.
Aha!
Aha!
I thought I heard you say, aha.
That's what I did say, aha.
Careful, careful, little bee. I can have you done away with like that.
I'm sure of it, sire.
Therefore, mind your manners. Now, what is your name?
Benjamin B.
Your father's name?
Joseph B.
Benjamin, the son of Joseph. Not that males are of any consequence in your tribe. Why did you wantonly and maliciously bury your stinger in the royal proboscis?
Well, I was buzzing along, minding my own business, humming a little psalm composed by King David, your late father, when suddenly I thought I saw a flower. I made quite a mistake, as your nose probably knows.
No stupid puns, if you please.
Yes, sire.
Have you nothing further to say before I have you squashed?
Your Majesty, I did not sting you purposely. An ignorant bee with sin encumbered, whose span is short, whose days are numbered, who never learned to judge between a nose and a rose.
Ignorance is no excuse.
There was your nose and there was me. I couldn't resist, Your Majesty.
That is quite obvious.
And so is your nose.
I seem to have something stuck in my buzzer.
Benjamin, the son of Joseph the Bee?
Alas, sire, I am ready for my punishment.
It is a fortunate thing for you that I am a merciful king.
You are not going to have me squashed?
Buzz off, Benjamin. Be gone. You're free.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, King Solomon. Maybe someday, if you need help, I'll be able to do you a favor.
You?
Certainly. Bees and elephants never forget.
Chamberlain, he will do me a favor. This pollen taster. This honey maker. This this insect.
I think I'd better go now. Bye-bye, King. Don't forget. Maybe I'll help you out someday.
Your Majesty, please.
Imagine that little drone.
Of course, sire.
Oh,
but,
that little Benjamin. Yeah. The nerve of him.
King Solomon, I wouldn't laugh quite so hard.
He will do me a favor. What colossal impudence.
Your Majesty, when you laugh so hard, the blood rushes to your nose.
Oh?
Really? That's much better. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must go to your royal kitchen and have a chat with your 77 pastry cooks. After all, the Queen of Sheba is coming, and we should have a little something ready when she arrives.
Honeybees escaped King Solomon's ire, and 16 trillion wasps and gnats no longer did perspire. They sizzed, they fissed, they whistled, they shrilled, they fussed, they hissed. But when the Queen of Sheba came, they saw King Solomon kissed.
Oh, I am pleased to see you looking so radiant. My dear King Solomon, you have a most remarkable complexion.
Hasn't he?
O King, you are like unto the flush of dawn in the eastern sky.
Giggle away, Sheba. Pay no attention to me. Cry it to all the neighbors. Make me a jest throughout the land.
Oh, more like a lantern, I would say. A nosy, rosy lantern.
Madame, if you please.
Why, he's offended. Chamberlain, I thought he was the wisest man in the world, but he's just a silly man like all the rest.
On the contrary, he is the wisest man. There's nothing which King Solomon does not know.
Personally, I am not impressed.
Oh, then. King Solomon, make up a proverb for her. Any proverb, sire.
Very well. Let me think a moment.
Listen, Queen.
Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words.
Well, Sheba, what do you say to that?
Haven't I read that somewhere?
You certainly have not. He made it up himself. He's the wisest man in the whole wide world. Well, I might go so far as to say he's the wisest man who ever lived.
Can he solve riddles?
Can Solomon solve riddles? Can a butterfly flutter by? Can the wind sigh? Can the tides wax or the moon wane? My dear, dear Queen of Sheba, can Solomon solve a riddle? Madame, there is no puzzle he cannot unpuzzle. No knot he cannot untie. No paradox he cannot unparadox. State your riddle.
Suppose he cannot answer.
Then you can have any prize you want.
The kingdom of King Solomon.
Oh, dear Queen, you overreach yourself by somewhat.
I will propose 3 riddles. Oh, Solomon, if you do not answer, your kingdom is forfeit.
Make it 2 out of 3.
3 out of 3. Those are my terms. Solomon, you are silent. Has this braggart of a chamberlain stopped up your mouth?
Ask your riddle, Sheba. I am not afraid. Go on, ask them.
Tomorrow, my lord. Tomorrow, when the cuckoo awakens your garden and the spider throws his gossamer upon the thorn bush. Tomorrow I shall put my 3 riddles to you, and tomorrow I shall own your kingdom.
King Solomon, sing praises for his fame. And let this story be a crown on his immortal name. Tomorrow came the cuckoo, sang within his leafy bower. And Sheba brought her riddles 3 for Solomon's testing hour.
Well, Solomon, are you ready?
What are your three riddles?
Chamberlain, mm-hmm. You might prepare the keys for the royal treasures. I shall want to count the gold pieces myself.
Oh, don't boast, Queen. Sing out your first riddle.
Very well.
Solomon, oh, Solomon, who is it who is, yet who has never been born, nor has ever died?
Sheba, Sheba, Queen, Queen of Sheba, the Lord is, the Lord was, who was neither born, who will not die.
Wonderful, what did I tell you? Wonderful, marvelous, miraculous. I told you he was the wisest man in the world.
Oh, that was easy, Chamberlain.
Oh, well, then make your second riddle harder. It's all the same to Solomon. Go ahead, sing out your second riddle. Quick.
Solomon, oh Solomon, the dead lived, the grave moved, and the dead prayed. I dare you to answer that one, O King.
When Jonah, Jonah, was swallowed by a whale, the whale was, the whale was Jonah's grave.
Right!
And when Jonah, Jonah, lived in the whale, the whale was, the whale was Jonah's grave. And the grave moved. Jonah prayed, and Jonah, Jonah prayed.
Well, Queen, you bite your lip.
He will not answer this last riddle.
And suppose he does?
Then he can have my kingdom.
Including the camels and the elephants?
Including everything.
That's fair enough. Kingdom against kingdom on the asking of one riddle and its answering. Pretty high stakes, I must say. Well, sing it out. Let's not procrastinate.
Very well. I shall ask my magicians to bring the riddle into the palace.
Does this riddle have to be carried?
It does. My magicians stand guard over 10,000 roses of the land of Sheba. Chamberlain, be good enough to ask them to bring the roses in.
Really? This is an awful lot of bother for one riddle, even if two kingdoms are at stake. Well, if it must be, I suppose it must be. Magicians, bring in the 10,000 roses of the land of Sheba.
Thank you very much, my good and faithful magicians. You have done your work well. Solomon?
I am ready.
Among these 10,000 flowers, only one flower is real.
I can't believe it. Only one is real?
Only one. Every other flower has been contrived by my magicians. Contrived so cunningly, so exquisitely perfumed, that no living man, not even you, O wise Solomon, can tell which is the true rose. I give you 1 hour to tell me which is the true rose.
Dear, 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 dear. A rather difficult riddle, King Solomon. Perhaps I should ask the royal gardeners to step in for a moment.
Quiet, quiet, Chamberlain, quiet. I'm thinking.
Yeah. Rather warm day, don't you think?
Oh, hush. Be still.
Perhaps I could go around and smell them.
Please be still. You're interrupting me.
Excuse me. Oh, King.
What?
I could try to bribe one of the magicians.
No, that wouldn't be fair. Besides, it wouldn't work.
Oh. Well, it's been quite a nice little kingdom. My dear Sheba, you wouldn't happen to require the services of an extra chamberlain, would you? You know, I can furnish the highest references.
Chamberlain, do be quiet. You disturb me.
It will do you no good, King Solomon.
How much time do I have?
Plenty of time. Take a whole hour.
I'd like a little more time.
How much more is a little more?
Suppose we say a day and a half?
Oh, no, my dear king. In a day and a half, the one true rose would fade and wilt. Mm-mm, no. 1 hour maximum. You have 56 minutes left. Chamberlain. So this is your wisest man in all the world, yet he cannot find one single flower that is real among the 10,000 that are false. Hmm. Solomon, you might pass me your crown. I'd like to try it on for size.
Chamberlain?
Do we give up, Your Majesty?
Oh, don't talk nonsense. It's a little stuffy in here. Would you be good enough to open a window?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Open the eastern window.
But more air enters through the north side.
Do as I tell you. The eastern window.
I have no idea what you two are whispering about, but it won't do you any good. Chamberlain, where are you going?
To this window, my dear queen.
55 minutes and the kingdom is mine. Well, Solomon?
I am waiting, madame.
For inspiration?
For a friend.
Really? Very good. I shall wait with you. Solomon, no tricks.
Tricks, madame? I have no idea what you mean.
That smile on your face, I do not care for it.
It is not a smile of cunning, madame. I am praising God.
Praising God?
For teaching me that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. For teaching me that humility goes before honor, and that the truly wise are those who may learn from fools, and even from those who are less than fools.
Excuse me, sire, but you are blithering.
Madame, I am rejoicing. Benjamin. Benjamin, the son of Joseph the Bee.
I told you I would come, Your Majesty.
And you were as good as your word. Thank you, Benjamin.
Don't mention it. It was nothing at all. Simple as pie. Glad to return a favor, Your Majesty.
And to think that yesterday I made fun of you. My dear queen, how much time do I have left?
Approximately 52 minutes.
I shall not need them. I am finished. Sheba, the 42nd flower in the 23rd row, that is the one true rose.
What?
The 42nd flower in the 23rd row.
I've been tricked. I've been undone.
By Benjamin B.
And that, madame, is that. Oh, dear, the keys to your kingdom, if you please.
No, Chamberlain. Let her keep her kingdom. Sheba, retain all your power and your riches. For today, I have acquired more than riches. Today, I learn not to despise any living creature in God's earth.
A man may learn from the wise. A man may learn from fools. A man may learn from the beasts in the field, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and even the honeybee, the little honeybee.
Was a little Benjamin Bee went searching for a flower that Sheba's queen had hidden for King Solomon's testing hour. Past every rose made to deceive, past thousands of flowers he flew, and lit upon the single rose that Solomon knew was true, that Solomon knew was true.
A man may learn from the wise. A man may learn from fools.
A man may learn from the beasts in the field,
the birds in the sky,
the fish in the sea,
and even the honeybee, the little honeybee.
The little honeybee.
The little honeybee.
The little honeybee.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Bertram Allenberg, Vice Chairman of the Board of Overseers of the University of Judaism. Mrs. Allenberg.
Although today's program was a humorous fantasy about King Solomon, there is a tradition of Solomonic wisdom which is both his and universal. There are parts of religious writings which are referred to as the wisdom literature. This includes the Book of Proverbs, which, although part of the Hebrew Bible, had absorbed and translated common maxims of that period. This is an indication of the nature of wisdom, belonging to no one man and valid for all time. As myths and legends find their counterpart in each part of the world, so wise sayings are somehow common to each land. The greatness of Solomon lay in the fact that he had abstracted the very essence of ancient wisdom. The examination of this wisdom literature leads us to a question about the nature of wisdom. King Solomon exemplified the definition that wisdom is an insight into human nature. There is, for instance, the famous story in the Bible about the two women who brought a child to him, both claiming its motherhood, and asked him to decide between them. He decided that he would divide the child in half and award one half to each woman. When the real mother protested, offering to give the child to the other woman rather than submit to this outrage, he found his solution through his insight into the emotions of motherhood. The insight derived from wisdom is the basis of love and friendship, and is an instrument which must be applied to each specific situation in daily life. Wisdom is the knowledge of living and the means to a higher life. The lesson of Queen Sheba, who acceded to the wisdom of Solomon, shows her greatness and not her defeat. For only by seeking out wisdom and absorbing it into a personal storehouse can we expand as human beings. The world must recognize that the retention of a kingdom is less important than the acquisition of wisdom. And like Queen Sheba, only if one makes his kingdom subservient to wisdom can he ultimately maintain it.
Thank you, Mrs. Allenberg. Our eternal light drama today, King Solomon and the Bee, was written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Featured as King Solomon was Preston Foster. Narrator was Tom Charlesworth. The Queen, Vivie Janis. Chamberlain was Rolf Sedan. The Bee, Sam Edwards. Cantor David Putterman sang a liturgical introduction. Your announcer was Frank Barton. The production was under the direction of Andrew C. Love. Time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. Today's transcribed program, the second in a series of four, was presented under the auspices of the University of Judaism, the West Coast branch of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and came to you from Hollywood.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.